again for singing with us. I'm arrested tonight with the fact that we need more prayer. And so I'm going to have you turn Galatians chapter 4. As you find your place in Galatians chapter 4, I certainly don't want to ever begin to think that what happens around here is your doing, my doing, or anyone else's doing. It's got to be the Lord. And so we're going to look at Galatians chapter 4, but Kyle's going to come, pray for us, and ask that the Lord would take this message to our hearts as we get into the Word of God.
Lord, I do pray that your hand would be on this service tonight. Lord, I pray that you would remove any distractions from us tonight, Lord, that we could truly hear from you. Lord, we thank you for the power of prayer, Lord, the fact that we can bring our requests to you, Lord, the fact that you hear us. Lord, we thank you that you are an all-powerful God. Lord, I pray that your hand would be on the service, be with Pastor as he preaches. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, we're looking at Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at the first 11 verses tonight, and we'll continue our study of Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. This illustration that's given here is just what you'd think. The apostle God is using him to write down through, and using the illustration of somebody that's growing up in the house that as a child, and I'll explain a little bit of this through historical parts. And the Bible is just giving the illustration how somebody grows up in that house, and that's about like we are as we grow up into the place where the faith of the Lord Jesus, into the Lord Jesus Christ, gets us into that sonship. Verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, I love this phrase, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Again, Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for Kyle asking, dear Lord, of you, and we were praying with him that you might meet with us. And I again pray together that we would see what you want for us to have out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here more teaching that shows the message of Christ, and that it's the completion of what was given in the Old Testament. In this section, we see that we're not only justified, we see that, but then that wonderful phrase, we're made as sons. And so we're going to work our way down through the verses, and trust will be a blessing to you. I want you to see, first of all, in verses 1 to about 7, that the law was there till we grew up, so to speak. Verse 1 says, now the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant. Now let me tell you, historically, as I studied this out, Roman customs would have shown Paul's illustration that he gave in this passage. Different servants had different things that they were involved. They were different areas of the servanthood that they were in charge of. Some would be in charge of the house. Some would be in charge of the land. Some would be in charge of the children. And so history would tell you that the children of servants would grow up with the children of the master. And there'd really be hard to tell the difference between them. Oftentimes, the people, if they were in the Roman army, the man of the house would go off to battle, sometimes for years, but would go off. And the servants would raise up the children. And so we see that these servants had different various areas, and they had charge of them. And so it was hard to tell, just like it says in verse number 1, hard to tell the heir of the whole property from just a servant that was there. Look at verse number 2. Until the time appointed, the Bible says, he's under tutors and governors, until the time appointed of the Father. But it wasn't an arbitrary age like 18, like we often think now, 21 for some part aspects, but 18, a legal adult, not like that. So history tells us that it was a decision of the father when that young person was able to take on the responsibilities of now being a man. So perhaps that he would come back from one of those adventures, maybe one of those battles, and would come back and realize that now his son, who was just a boy running around doing work and doing things with the servants, was at that age where he could now be called a man. They had a ceremony. It had a name that they would have this ceremony. That was his coming of age party, so to speak. And this ceremony gave him the full rights of sonship, and it let him be a full-grown son. Up until then, the servant was able just to discipline that heir just like he was his own son. He was under tutors and governors. But now, because the father saw it was time, that young person was now a full-fledged son. Maybe he wasn't 18, whatever age he was, when he realized that, when the father realized that, but he deemed him my son. And so we see, only to go down to verse number 3, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage. We understand before, when we were under the bondage of the law, before we came to faith in Jesus Christ, we were under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, verse number 4, when the fullness of the time came, was God sent forth his son, made of a woman, Mary, made under the law. Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the things that he was supposed to. And then verse number 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We know what it's like to be adopted now. There's different folks in the church that have adopted somebody, and I've never been in one of those ceremonies. Some family members of mine have adopted, but because of distance, we weren't able to go to the ceremony. But it is a very moving ceremony where they are literally placed into your family. Have all the rights of a child that was born into your home. And so we understand what adoption is today, but in that day, you didn't adopt somebody who was outside of your family. You adopted your own son. You truly brought him in. Now he's not under tutors, under governors. He's not under being trained up. Now he's got all of the authority, all of the rights that come with being your son, placed your own son as your full-grown son. He's legitimized, he's legal, and he's adult. Now today, we have less penalties for people who aren't adults yet than we do for adults. And in that day, there was great reward for those sons who had become their adopted son of the father. Let's move on, verse number 7. Wherefore, because of all of these things have happened, you see the spiritual tone that's coming around the illustration of somebody coming into the family, and we're realizing that we're coming into the family, and you're already saved, you're already in. But as this whole thing of salvation, we study it out, you start to see the picture coming clearer and clearer. Wow, we're adopted into the family. We're born again, the Bible says. And the Bible says we're born into the family, born again, but we're also adopted into the family, just like one of those one of the children of the master. Yes, he was born into his family, but there was a time as he grew that he became a full-fledged, legitimate son. He was adopted in there. And that's where you and I find ourselves. We've got the rights not just because our name is such, but because we've also been adopted, grafted in. We have been in the family because God has pulled us in. Verse number 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. Remember, that son was like a servant. He was under tutors. He was under governors in verse number 2. He was he didn't differ any from the servant's children, even though he was the heir of all. But now, verse 7, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, and this is where it gets good, you and I, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto those things which are by nature no more gods. All of us serve something. I don't know whether you served wine, women, and song. I don't know whether you served your career. I don't know whether you served what it was. Maybe you were a good moral person, but you were serving that reputation, whatever it was, but we were serving something. And that's what the Bible says. You did service unto those who by nature were no gods at all. But now, verse number 9, after that you've known God, And this is the next phrase, which I love, or rather known of God. And then he asks, how in the world would you want to go back to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Because remember, this group was wanting to take back on part of the law. They were wanting to go back into some of the stringent things of the law. And it's as if the apostle is saying, you've got the full beauty of sonship. You came out of that servanthood. You were the servants of sin. You were the servants of things that are no gods, little g's at all. They weren't God at all, but you were serving them like they were your master. And now you've come to full-fledged sonship. You're no more a servant of sin. You're no more a servant of those things. You're adopted into the family. Why on earth would you want to go back to these meager, beggarly elements and try to retrieve some of those things that you should have left long ago? I want you to look, if you will, at your in Galatians. Just look back in Romans chapter number 8, almost a parallel passage here with this. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. We're speaking here about being adopted into the family. Romans 8, 15 says this, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I'm told that the translators didn't even try to change that Abba because it would mean like a daddy, intimate way to describe your dad, your daddy, your father, but they just left it as Abba. The Bible says in verse number 16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And aren't you so thankful that it does? The Holy Spirit bears witness with you that we're the children of God. When things are going wrong and you think everybody's left you, but you've got something inside of you that says, ain't everybody left you? You may be all alone in this room, but you're not all alone in this room. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, verse 17 of Romans 8, and if children, then we're not just children, we're heirs. We're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. It's a wonderful thing when God makes himself real to you, when that spirit, the capital S, bears witness with your little s spirit that you're the children of God. And I'm telling you, I don't want to wish tough times on anybody in this audience tonight, but it is in those tough times when the Lord comes and ministers to you and he makes himself more real to you then than he ever did when everything was bright and fun and cheerful and everything was big lights and bright city. You know that my sweet wife and her family, they just buried their mother here, and they all of her siblings gathered around, and I was still here, but she over there, and that family gathered around, sang and prayed and praised the Lord, and they prayed my sweet mother-in-law all the way. They didn't pray her into heaven. She got that settled long ago, but they prayed and praised and sang all the way until she went. And the Spirit, capital S, bears with us with your spirit that you're one of his. And some of the times that he makes himself the most evident is when you're at the lowest of what you're going through. But I'm telling you, my friend, that we see that that Spirit of God put us in to the family of God. And then I give you the last part there that in verses 8 through 11, so why on earth would you go back into spiritual bondage? Now that we have all that intimate relationship where we can cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, my Father, my intimate relationship with God, you can see why it's so absurd to go back into a cold, stiff law of a religion. Verse number 8 says, why? When you knew not God, you did service unto those, but now you don't have to anymore. I think about some of our missionaries when they give reports of people who truly bowed down to idols and how senseless it would be when they have the Lord Jesus save them and the Spirit of God takes up residence in their life and they are adopted into their family. how silly it would be for them to have some statue in the closet that they would open up and remind themselves of what they used to bow down to. We've heard so many good reports of how those missionaries would say they've just cleaned all that stuff out. Because why would you want something made with hands when the eternal, almighty, ever-present Spirit of God lives within you? And that's where we get here in verses 8 down to through 11. And I've already brought your attention to it twice, but I bring it one more time for good measure. I hope that it strikes you like it did me the first part of verse 9. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, I'm reminded of what God said about Abraham in the Old Testament, that God said, I know him. And he knew what Abraham would do. He was a friend of God. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this, that when people I love and their minds go, and they're not able to remember what they did, that Savior that reached down and saved them has never forgotten them. Even when dementia has come and robbed that dear one of all that they know. That's why I get such peace out of verse number 9. I'm glad that I know him, but I'm more glad that he knows me. I'm thankful that I can get up here and tell you about Jesus Christ, but I'm more thankful that he said he knows me. You're known by God. He goes on to say in verse number 10, and you desire to be in bondage, you observe these days, the Sabbath days, the months, probably the new moons, which they weren't supposed to be worshiping or observing anyways, the times, probably the feasts that the Israelites observed, and then the years, the sabbatical years of for crops and things like that. All those things had a purpose, but none of those were the purpose to get anybody into heaven. And the apostle was used of God to write these people. Galatians said, shame on you for coming to Christ and then thinking those things have any salvation merit. Seems like it would fit well to say that old saying that people say, don't look back, because we ain't going that way. Don't look back. Be thankful for whatever has happened in your life to bring you to a place where you get saved, where you came to Christ. But don't look back for any of those things that are back there, because that's not the way we're going, my friend. Now, and sometimes in our day, we've got the complete opposite. We don't have people going back into bondage. We've got people that say, there's no even rules for this Christian life. But my friend, just remember, you didn't get saved, stay saved, or going to be saved one of these days because you did a good thing. If there's anything good in you, my friend, it's that Jesus Christ saved your soul. And for that, we ought to praise his name from now until he takes us to glory. We don't live right to get saved. We don't live right to stay saved. We just rejoice that the Spirit of God, God saved us and his Spirit lives within us. Come back on Wednesday nights and we'll get into a little bit more of that, lest you think that message is too easy. Now, that salvation that saved you, bring some work clothes with it. Because every Christian ought to be a working Christian. But you can't get the cart before the horse and say that you're going to work to get in. You might as well count on your ability to jump this building as count on your ability to work your way to heaven. Neither one's going to happen. I just am arrested with this thought that as we see that that law was there till we grew up and brought us to the point where God just brought us on up. And now we've got this wonderful privilege to be called a son, a daughter of God. Amen. Folks, it's better than we're realizing. I like my last name because my dad's worked hard to give a good name in our community of somebody who'd pay their bills and work hard. But I like the other name a whole lot better than I like Herdman. And that's I'm named by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Thank you so much for bringing us tonight. Lord, I prayed you would encourage my friends to, dear Lord, to just bask in all this sonship, S-O-N, how good it is to be saved. How much we realize it wasn't one bit of us, it was all of you. But Lord, I'm just as saved as the Apostle Paul was. Lord, I'm just as saved as the disciples were. Oh, thank you, Lord, for salvation. I pray if there's one person or a few that aren't sure of that, they'd get shored up tonight. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody that's been looking down their long nose at somebody else because they're not doing quite what they think they ought to do, that they'll remember that we don't get right to go to heaven because we're saved. And I pray they'd let you work on those people, I pray, dear Lord. As the instruments play something through, if you're able to, would you stand together with us? If you're here tonight and you feel led to pray this old-fashioned altar, these steps around here, that you can come and just pour your heart out to the Lord. You say, do I have to come to the altar to make it right? No, you don't have to, but some of my best decisions I've ever made have been made at an altar. And it's open for you tonight. And if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you please step out and come and let me or somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home? Oh, my friend, the most important decision you'll ever make as they play, would you pray? And if God's leading you, would you come? Thank you so much. You may be seated. And thank you to everybody who's joined us via live stream. We're going to cut off the live stream now, and we're going to have one of our missionaries come up, and a missionary that we...